Today, we'll talk about things that are quote-unquote worth it for almost everybody going to Disney World. That's kind of coming up on this, episode 12 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk Disney World strategy and planning for people who are planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Alberts, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com, and I am excited to be here for episode 12. You can find me, in addition to this podcast, which comes out once a week, on the website WDWPrepSchool.com. A couple of times a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, and all over social media, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook page, Instagram, etc., under the name WDW Prep School. Now, today I'm excited to talk about a handful of things that I think are worth it for almost everybody that is going to Disney World. And this topic came out of emails that I get almost daily where somebody will send me a message and say, I was thinking about doing fill in the blank. Is it worth it? And I always want to like pull my hair out and go, well, I don't know. I think everything's worth it personally. And so I think everything's worth trying. I think but you know, not everybody agrees with me. And so it's hard though, not knowing someone's personality or budget or anything like that. I don't know how to recommend. So I put this question out to the Facebook page which is at facebook.com/WDWPrepSchool. And I just asked people what they thought was worth it. And I thought, well, if enough people there agree on some topics, then I feel safe recommending those as opposed to my normal, which is everything's worth it, of course. So today I have a handful of things that most people seem to agree are worth doing for everyone on their Disney World trips. Before we jump into that list of about five things, I did want to remind you, if you are an iTunes user and listening to this through iTunes, please take a minute to leave a review. It really, really helps, and it has done amazing things for this podcast and has really moved it up the charts. And it's been featured by iTunes and all kinds of things, and that's just because of the ratings and reviews that you leave. So I wanted to take 1 second to read a five-star review today, which was left by a user named Shawnee D, which sounds like a rap name, but it's probably just her actual name or his. And the subject is, I guess that it's a her because she says she's a mom. The subject is great ideas from a realistic mom. And she says, I've been to Disney World many times, but only started going with my children 4 years ago with my first son. Now we're about to go with my third, and I'm always looking for kid ideas, which is how I came across Shannon's website and podcast. She's very comprehensive when talking about Disney, and her ideas aren't too cheap or unrealistic. Her posts and podcasts about going with babies and toddlers sets reasonable goals for anyone who hasn't gone to these huge parks with children. It's all about staying on property and maximizing the Disney transportation. So if you're looking for an all Disney World vacation, WDW Prep School is an excellent source. So thank you, Shawnee D, for leaving that. I appreciate it. As I've said before, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I have very rarely left reviews. And so I do appreciate the time it takes to type that up. It's very helpful and doesn't go unnoticed. And I did want to take a minute to just talk about her comment. And I do have a trip plan for toddlers on the site. And I was just having lunch with a friend this week and I said, you know, My kids are a little bit older now. My son's getting ready to turn 12. My daughter's in college. And a lot of the information that I talk about is from their younger years because that's when you really have to plan a lot. That's when you have to lug backpacks full of their snacks and toys and, you know, whatever, and rent strollers. And so a lot of my knowledge comes from when they were little. And my son in particular was so difficult. He was a very, very difficult toddler. And it forced me to be creative, because I always had to keep him busy and we had to always be thinking ahead to make sure that we could accomplish whatever it is we were trying to do. And that included Disney trips. So because of him, I do have a lot of ideas about that kind of stuff. Hopefully your toddlers aren't quite as difficult. So the advice will not all have to be used. But I do have him to credit with being the person to force me to be creative and to put those thoughts together. And it was good for me to be able to write these things on the site before I forget them, and hopefully other people can benefit. So let's see. If you have a question or a a question or feedback or anything that you would like to submit that could be part of a future episode, you can either email podcast@wdwprepschool.com or you can leave a voicemail at 414-939-7900, and that could be included on a future episode. All right, so let's dive into today's main topic, which is about things that are worth it for most people who are going to Disney World. All right, so the first thing is going to be the one thing that I felt safe recommending for sure, and everything else is sort of a consensus that I have gotten from other people. So the first one is my recommendation, which is to, if you're staying at a value or a moderate resort, upgrading to a preferred room is worth it, in my opinion. It's another few dollars per night, and the benefit of doing this is that you will be guaranteed a room that is closer to the main building, which means that you are closer to the food court, the front desk, the bus stops, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think until you get there, you can really appreciate the size of the resorts. And so just take my word for it that this is worth it, and it saves you so much time. One of the people on the Facebook page actually said they were staying at one of the value resorts, and her husband couldn't even believe that there were rooms further than theirs because they were relatively close, but they couldn't believe that there were rooms further than theirs. And after a long day in the parks and you're trying to get back to your room and just, you know, lay down and get to bed for the night, it just seems like a long walk. Or if you just want some breakfast, or if you just want to go refill your cup, you know, it's annoying to have to walk for a long time to do that. So I recommend upgrading to a preferred room. There are a couple of exceptions to this. Art of Animation is one that doesn't have preferred rooms right now, but you can request rooms that are closer to the main building. And so if you could just look on a map, and I will include that in the show notes, I'll include an Art of Animation map. You can request a certain building on the certain end of the building to be closer to the main building, which is what a preferred room is. The only difference there is that it's not guaranteed. It's just a request. And the other exception to this rule is that Port Orleans French Quarter is the only one in the value or moderate category that is small. So you don't have the long walks that you would have at the other resorts. All the others are quite large. And in order to book a preferred room, it's just another category. If you are booking straight through DisneyWorld.com, your search results will say standard room is this cost, preferred room is this cost. And so you would just choose the preferred room as opposed to the standard, and then that would give you a closer location. Highly recommend it. Do it if you can. The second thing on the worth it list is PhotoPass Plus, and this is something that I really liked, and I was surprised to see so many people thought it was worth it, but I think it definitely is. So here's the concept. PhotoPass Plus is. It's a CD that you pay for to get all of your photos from your trip that were taken by PhotoPass photographers, but it also includes the ride photos, and it includes character dining photos, and some of those are printed photos. There's a handful of character meals where you actually get the printed photos if you pay for PhotoPass Plus. So the steps would be this in order to use PhotoPass Plus. You would order it at more than 2 weeks before your trip, because that'll save you $50, and then they'll mail you a package. And this may change with Magic Bands, because a lot of the stuff just gets automatically attached to your Magic Bands. So keep that in mind as I'm saying this. But you order it more than 2 weeks ahead of time, mail you a package. Then in that package is a voucher that you take to the parks with you and to a PhotoPass location, and then they give you your PhotoPass card, which you then use to get your ride photos and character dining and all that kind of stuff. And you can also take regular pictures in the park from the PhotoPass photographers. Then you get home, and within 45 days of your trip, you would go online to your PhotoPass account, and you would do any editing you wanted to for your photos, and you would order your CD using a code that was included in the PhotoPass package that was sent to you before your trip. So then you would be given this PhotoPass CD in the mail that would have all your pictures, including your ride photos, and then you would have your printed pictures that were handed to you during your trip as some of the character meals that are part of it. So anyway, I have a couple of posts on the site that include information on this, but that's kind of the brief overview. And I think, like, for us, the ride photos are kind of just so nice to have, because we would never splurge on those before. But because we had PhotoPass Plus on our last trip, we were able to get all of them, and they're really fun to look at. And I'm really glad that we have those, but normally we would not have gotten them. So Second on this list is PhotoPass Plus. Now, number three is character meals. So character meals are meals that can take place in any number of restaurants, and some of them are in the parks and some of them are in the resorts. And you have a meal, and certain characters that are assigned to that restaurant will come around to your table and you can take pictures with them. Some character dining locations have actual photo areas where they take your picture, not necessarily with characters, but they have just like a backdrop. They take a family picture at the restaurant. And it's a great way to kill two birds with one stone. And that way you're not waiting in lines for characters like you would in the park, but you're at your table, you're eating. And when the characters are ready to come around to your table, then you can take a picture and stop eating for a minute to do that. It's just a great way to avoid lines. And it's also a great way to allow little ones to warm up to characters. So if you're afraid that you're going to wait in a line for 30 minutes to meet a character and then your child's going to freak out, you know, maybe warm them up at a meal because they're at the comfort of their own table and they can kind of observe from afar and kind of just see what it's all about. When we were at Chef Mickey's on a previous trip, there was a little girl who was terrified of characters, and I guess her parents were just trying to push her to do it, but a character came up behind her and she screamed bloody murder. She was inconsolable. She had to be taken out. So certainly, you know, don't make them do more than they're capable of. But if your child is sort of slow to warm up, it can be a great chance to do that. And then you'll avoid lines and get to eat and all that kind of stuff. More specifically, a character meal that is often mentioned as being worth it is Breakfast with the Princesses. And this is at Cinderella's Royal Table in Magic Kingdom and in the Norway section of Epcot. And I think the restaurant is pronounced Akershus. I always says most a lot of people just say the restaurant in Norway. I think it's called Akershus. But both locations have princesses and great breakfasts. And the ideal situation is that you would book your breakfast there at 8 a.m., 1 hour before the park begins, because then not only are you not missing out on touring time, but you also are in the park before it opens. And at Magic Kingdom in particular, being there before it opens is a great photo op. So you walk to your breakfast reservation, and before you head inside the castle, you take a picture with the castle in the background, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of tourists being in your picture, and it's a very kind of rare opportunity. Now, the ability to have breakfast with the princesses in these two restaurants is very competitive, so this is something you would want to do 180 days in advance, because a lot of people do want them, so you'll have to be first to do it. Another option would be to have like an 11 o'clock meal, because then that's going to be less busy. You won't have the benefit of being in the park without people, but you can still have breakfast if you do it a little bit later, and it won't be quite as competitive. So, and you'll have a couple hours to tour before your meal. So, you know, that's another great option if you would like to do it. Now, I do think that we have done Breakfast with the Princesses a couple times, and I do think it is specifically for princess lovers. Everybody shouldn't necessarily do it, but if your child's only going to be into princesses for a certain period of their childhood, then it's a great thing to take advantage of, it because there's nothing quite as magical as being able to dine with the princesses. So definitely recommend that as one type of character meal, but the character meals overall are a good deal. Okay, so that's number three. Number four is the Disney Dining Plan, and I think this one could be a little bit controversial, because if you just do straight math, the Disney Dining Plan doesn't always work out to be a better deal. However, there are ways to maximize it, and I think that you have to sometimes go beyond just the numbers to figure out if it's worth it. So for instance, for our family, my husband gets very stressed out about money. And so having the Disney Dining Plan allows him to not think about money for our whole Disney World trip, because the hotel's been paid for and the park tickets have been paid for and the dining's been paid for. So we just go and we have fun. And the kids don't stress out about ordering an entree that's a little bit more expensive than another one, because it doesn't matter. It all costs credits, and so the exact dollars don't matter. So for us, the peace of mind of using the Disney Dining Plan makes it worth it. It makes vacations more fun. Now, if you want to pinch every penny out of it, there are definitely ways to do that. And you can check out the menus for all the restaurants and just get the ones that tend to have the best, like the highest average price. And like, for instance, for quick service, the Wolfgang Puck Express in Downtown Disney has pizzas that are one quick service credit, and you can share those usually with another person, and they're very, very, very good. So you can really make your dining plan credits stretch and use them for high quality restaurants, and you can really, you know, maximize it as much as possible. But even if you don't, it can be worth it because it makes for an all-inclusive, laid-back vacation, which is worth it for a lot of people. Okay, that's number four. Number five is to take advantage of taxis. I have talked about this before, and it's worth bringing up again. Taxis cost about $10 or $12, depending on your starting and finishing points within Disney World. But when you are faced with a line at a bus stop that is an hour long, it is worth $10 to have a taxi take you to your resort and save you, you know, an hour of time. So I highly recommend it, and it's something that people don't do enough. And in your Disney Resort room, there's a button that connects you to the taxis, and you can actually schedule them ahead of time. So if you know you're going to need to get between resorts and you don't want to have to, you know, worry about catching buses and all the different legs of the trip that you would have to take using Disney transportation, you can just book that ahead of time. Say, I'd like a taxi at 7 a.m., please. And they will be there. So highly recommend that. And I definitely recommend it after nighttime entertainment when everybody's floating out of the park at the same time and where lines can be very long. And you're very tired by that time of day, especially with little ones. So highly recommend considering taxis as an option. All right. So that wraps up my list of the five things to briefly, quickly review. The first one was upgrading to a preferred room when staying at a value or moderate. The second is to use PhotoPass Plus. The third is character meals, and in particular, Breakfast with the Princesses, but all of them are good. Four is the Disney Dining Plan. Five is taxis. So I hope that was helpful. And if you have your own ideas about things that you think are worth it, please feel free to go on the site and leave a comment sharing your thoughts. Before we finish up today, I did want to share my quick tip of the day. And my quick tip of the day is that at Animal Kingdom, there is a somewhat secret entrance to get you in. So if you happen to be there at a time when it's busy and the turnstiles at the front of the park seem pretty crowded, you can actually go through this secret entrance, and I'll tell you how. Before you enter Animal Kingdom, there is a Rainforest Cafe location. And if you go in the Rainforest Cafe and to the gift shop, there are private turnstiles there that allow people at the Rainforest Cafe to go into Animal Kingdom at their own turnstiles. And you can do that. So you would just go to the gift shop at the Rainforest Cafe and go in that way. And that will be a shorter line than the ones at the main turnstiles. I do want to mention to you that Animal Kingdom hasn't opened early historically. The other parks have usually opened 10 to 20 to 30 minutes early. Animal Kingdom now also opens a little bit early. So sometimes that will help alleviate some of that, you know, those long lines that build up before 9 a.m. But if they do build up, feel free to go explore the Rainforest Cafe option. I think that just about wraps up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information and show notes, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode12, and that is the number 12. Until next time, I will see you on the site.